Okay.
This morning we'll be talking about God's power through our kindness. When we talk about things that matter most in life, the Bible is pretty clear on what God has done and what God's purpose is. Often Christians wonder, once I receive Christ and I know I'm going to heaven, wonder why the Lord just doesn't take me to heaven. You know, the Lord has a plan, and in his plan, he's given us in his word exactly why he leaves us here and exactly what we're supposed to be doing while we are here. In Matthew 22, verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Father, as we look into your word today, fill us with your spirit. Help us to know your plan for our lives. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus told us the reason we're here is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus is saying the reason we're still here is to love God with all our heart and to start loving our neighbors. Our scripture tells us in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." When we look at that and it says the only thing that counts, we better start paying attention. What is the only thing that counts as far as God is concerned? He says it's faith expressing itself through love. We need to underline that phrase, the only thing that counts, because it's faith expressing itself through love. And love cannot express itself until love is given away. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love always gives. You can't show love unless you give it to somebody. Love without being given counts for nothing. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, a lot of people do a lot of great big works thinking God's going to be pleased. But God says, even if I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So many people do so many great things thinking that's what's going to make them important. But if it isn't given for God's glory and God's name, it's going to amount to nothing. So no matter what I say or believe, I'm bankrupt without giving God's love. Because that word for love there, in the original version, is agape love. It's God's love, not man's love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud." Envy is one of the things I want to talk most about today, because envy is resenting God's goodness to others while complaining that he isn't good enough to us. Nothing is more destructive than envy to a marriage, to a friendship, to a church, to a business, to anything there's a relationship in. It causes all kinds of other problems. There's tremendous positive power in God's kindness, but there's tremendous destructive power in man's envy one of another. The Bible says the art to overcoming envy can be found by watching a potter make clay. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 8, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. What God is saying here is remember that He is the potter. You didn't make yourself. I know you've heard the saying, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. The Lord has had all kinds of people and all kinds of input into what you are. God is the potter and I'm the clay. And you say, well, how does that help me with the problem of envy? There are three principles that have to be learned from the potter to help us overcome envy. The first one, the first principle, is we need to stop comparing ourselves to other clay pots. So often in life, comparing is the root of either pride or evil. When we compare ourselves with somebody else, almost always we come out of the comparison either thinking in our own minds we're better than they are, which leads to pride, or we think we're not as good as they are, which leads to envy. Both of which are not good. We're not to compare ourselves with others because, first of all, you are totally unique. There has never been another you. There never will be again another exactly like you. With your particular life, with your particular traits, there'll never be anybody like you. And so you really can't compare yourself to anybody else because you're not anybody else. God molded you and He made you exactly the way He wanted you. So there's no one else like you, never has been, never will be, and comparing leads to trouble. In Isaiah 45, verse 9, it says, woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but posturds. And that word posturds means a clay pot. That's what it means. Among the posturds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say? The potter has no hands. Quite obviously, the clay doesn't know anywhere near as much as the potter. And so we, as God's pottery, need to stop complaining about how God has made us and start rejoicing with what He has done. God didn't really like what He made sometimes, and so He remakes us in His image. He's constantly changing and refining us. The second lesson we learn is when you start comparing, you either think I'm doing better than they are, and you get proud, or you begin to think I'm not as good as they are, and you become envious. Both are sins, believe it or not. The Bible warns us over and over, do not compare yourselves to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And one of the greatest examples of that is when a Pharisee and a tax collector went into the temple to pray. The Bible says the tax collector standeth off by himself, wouldn't look up to heaven, beat on his chest, and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. The Pharisee, who had thought he was the greatest guy that ever lived, stood over on the other side of the temple, raised his hands to heaven, and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like that sinner publican over there. I tithe all that I make. I tithe dill and I tithe cumin. I pray and worship three times a day. The Bible says about those two men, it says the publican went home forgiven. The Pharisee, who had pride in his heart, went home unforgiven. Pride will really bring you down. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, talking about pride, the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Talking about envy. Envy is also talked about here in Proverbs 14, verse 30. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. The third reason the Bible says we should never compare is because we're all made of clay. We're all exactly the same stuff. There are white people that think they're better than black people who think they're better than whites, Mexican who think they're better than Chinese. Everybody's always comparing and saying, I'm the special one. When I and Mimi taught children's church years ago, we always used to sing the song, Red and Yellow, Black and White, They Are Precious in His Sight. And when we got done, all the students in our church were white. And we'd say to the kids, which one, red, yellow, black, or white, is most precious in God's sight? And most of the times, the kids would raise their hand and say, white. And we'd say, wrong. They're all precious in His sight. Boys or girls? Boys think boys are better than girls, and girls think girls are better than boys. God says what? There's no difference. We're all precious in His sight. And so we stop comparing ourselves. When we do compare ourselves, all we can see is the outside. The Bible says God doesn't get excited about the outside. God's more concerned with what's inside. When we look at people who have their houses in order, so to speak, they've got the big house, they've got the big cars, they've got the great job, they've got the boats, they got all the stuff, sometimes we get envious. But we shouldn't really be, because they've also got things inside that may be hurting terribly. Ross Perot, some of you remember when he ran for president. He took a group of his young protégés along with him, went to the docks, and he said, boys, don't set your eyes on the yachts, don't set your eyes on riches and wealth, because all you're going to wind up doing with all the rest of your life is fixing stuff. He says, every day I have a man on that boat fixing stuff. Every day I'm paying somebody. And the same for his house, the same for all the stuff. We think rich people have it made. They've got more problems than most of us will ever have in a lifetime. We won't stop comparing ourselves to others. We can go on to the next course that God has for us. And that's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. The Lord says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. The second half of the verse is usually easier for most of us. It's easier to mourn with those that mourn because we're kind of looking down on their poor situation. We're feeling really bad for them, and we can sympathize, and we're rejoicing that we're not there with them. The other part of that verse, rejoice with those who rejoice, is a little more difficult because what they're rejoicing about is they just got that promotion that maybe you wanted. They just had that marriage that maybe you've been longing for all your life. They just had that child, and you can't have a child. It's harder to rejoice with those that rejoice because oftentimes we think, God, why did you let them have what I've always wanted? A very difficult thing, but it's not so difficult when we realize that along with every blessing comes a trial. So what we're saying is, Lord, I don't have to worry about what they have because I can't see what they don't have. You see it all. Just because God blesses somebody else doesn't mean that He's not going to bless you. We talked about this idea of a pie. And when I was a boy, we had 8 kids in the family. When my mom would make pies, she would cut the pieces and all of us boys would be over there. My sister didn't get involved in this much. But all the boys would be over there looking at which is the biggest piece. Because everybody wants the biggest piece of pie. Well, what we forget is that God has all the pies in all the universe. Just because I get a big piece doesn't mean you can't have a big piece too. We don't ever run out of the things that God has for us. So we don't compare ourselves to others. I've noticed a trend to envy people who are in the same areas of life that you are. People without children usually don't envy people that have 10 kids. They envy other people that maybe don't have children but have a bigger car than they do. People who work as a mortician don't really envy the guy who's working in the shop. What he envies is a mortician who has more clients than they do. The person who's an author doesn't compare himself to a pastor. He compares himself to another author and envies them. What we have to do is be thankful for what God has given us and not worry so much about what He's given to somebody else. Sometimes we only get happy when good things happen to us. I want to tell you, if that's your case, the only time you can be happy is when good things are happening to yourself and you get envious when good things happen to other people, you're not going to be happy very much. But if you can learn to be happy when other people are getting the big piece of pie, you can be happy a lot more. Because the Lord's doing all kinds of good things to everybody, but not all the time to the same person. And so we have to learn how to rejoice with those that rejoice. We don't want to trust the loving hands of the potter, but we must learn to trust his hands. So the second thing we learn from pottery to overcome envy is trust in our Father's loving hands. We start trusting the hands that are forming us, and then we don't become envious of somebody else that God is forming also. The problem is not with the person that you envy. When you get envy in your heart, that's the fever you get. But the start of that fever is that you're not trusting God with your life. When we trust God to do in us his perfect will, we can learn to be content. Remember the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content whatever the situation. I know how to be well off, and I know how to suffer need. Folks, it's a lesson we all need to learn. Let's pray. Father, so grateful for your word. Grateful, Lord, that we do not have to be envious of others. We can trust you to make us exactly as you had planned. Father, we're thankful for the good work you do in us, even though sometimes we have to admit it hurts. Father, you never hurt your children unless it's absolutely necessary. Father, help us to submit to you, to continue to grow all the days of our life, to be the people that know what's of value and what's useless in your sight. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.